can't believe he participated in ganging up against me.
My favorite part of last week, the part where we made fun of you. That was like at least a third of the episode.
Yeah, I have...
You had your mad face on.
I have a different favorite part. it was the part where we did not gang up on me.
Last week was awesome, though, because usually Don just kind of pumps your tires and makes you feel good about yourself. And we really had a at-ridge rip fest last week.
I want to know who put a nickel in Don.
I felt like it was like one of those comedy shows where you were the guy in the front row with the date, and he was just picking you apart because she was way too good looking for you to be sitting with.
It's kind of my life. Everybody, Alan here with a quick note before we get into episode 88 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. The good folks over at Outdoor Photography Canada magazine have offered a discount to you, the listener. From now until the end of September, get an additional 20% off the subscription price. That translates to 60% off the newsstand price. Over half. See how I did the math right there? Head over to OutdoorPhotographyCanada.com, of course we'll put a link to that on our website, and enter the promo code OPCHOSERS to redeem this offer. Now I'm guessing the OPC in that stands for Outdoor Photography Canada, so that's why it's OPCHOSERS. Anyway, this all came down after we'd already recorded this week's show, so Adam and I will talk more about this on next week's episode, but we wanted to make sure that you heard about it as soon as possible and could take full advantage of the offer. So again, the promo code is OPCHOSERS. Now, on to the show. Hello and welcome to episode 88 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada. Still in Vancouver. Maybe.
One more time.
Depending. I mean, technically, right this second, the voice you're hearing now, I recorded in Vancouver.
Right. You're probably going to be in Germany when this goes live.
Likely.
Yeah.
With me, as always,
Adam.
Also, he will definitely be in Vancouver.
Still planning to be in Vancouver when this airs.
Yeah. Unless it airs on one of your Seattle trips.
Yeah, which is possible.
It's 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could go either way. Way with that. What's going on, Adam?
Not much. Winding down summer, staring the end of summer right in the face, and back to school.
Back to school, yeah, not for me.
Not for me either.
But for my wife.
Yeah, and for kids. My daughter's going to go to kindergarten, so that's exciting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is she excited about that?
She is very, my daughter, yes. She's kind of excited about waking up in the morning, so kindergarten is hugely exciting.
Right.
Yeah, so there's that. And that opens up the window to photography, because I am hoping to do a, kind of like a first day of school kind of photo shoot. I'm hoping she's going to participate, so I'll let you know how that goes.
And now, are you going to go to the first day of kindergarten?
Well, actually, I will be there the second day. The first day is just an hour drop-off, and I won't be there.
Right.
But I'm hoping to do a shoot at home, a white background shoot with what she will be wearing to the first day of school.
Okay.
So I'm hoping she's excited enough to participate. That's my hope.
She's picked it out weeks in advance, hasn't she?
Yeah, maybe. You never know. There's always that last minute, maybe I should go with the other shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about yourself?
I also feel the summer winding down.
Yeah.
No, the summer has wound down. But, and you can feel it in the air, which I like. I like fall or autumn. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I like a lot of things. It's one of my favorite seasons. One of my top four.
Top four seasons. This week on the Two Hosers Photo Show.
But I count summer twice because I don't like winter that much.
Yeah.
Winter is, everyone always says, you want the changing of the seasons. And what about skiing? I feel like I could fly on vacation to go skiing if I really liked it that much.
Right, yeah.
It'd be awesome if it was just spring.
I think you'll change your mind when you start getting your kid on a toboggan, because that is awesome. I could do that every day if we got snow here, which
except
we
for
don't.
The best thing I like this about this summer was the fact that when I had to change diapers, I had to take off only one layer. In the wintertime, it's 147 layers, and then the diaper.
You mean when your wife had to change diapers?
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm assuming she wears a lot. I don't know. Does she still wear diapers?
Your wife got less mad at you because it was easier for her to change diapers.
That's probably more accurate. Yeah. Do the kids still wear diapers at one?
I think so. Right. Yeah.
Not my problem.
Yeah.
So after last week's episode of where I explained why I do all the driving, I guess it's no surprise that I don't change diapers.
Right.
That's a lie. I'm a diaper changer.
Really?
Yeah. I prefer not to be. Like if I don't have to do it, like if she catches it before I do, I really like that.
Yeah.
But anyways, moving on, and also like baseball coming. It's back to what I like about fall.
Right.
I like
the playoffs. Yeah, the playoffs are awesome.
Because even though I grew up playing baseball and I love it, and at eight slept and breathed baseball growing up, I find the regular season wildly boring. Playoffs are awesome.
Yeah, so I enjoy. I don't watch much regular season baseball. Growing up in Toronto, baseball was big, and I went to a lot of games. Out here, not having a professional baseball team at the major league level, get to maybe one game a year, and that's down in Seattle. So I do also look forward to the playoffs because then I actually start watching. So
when it's three games a day in the first round,
oh, it's good. Yeah,
yeah,
there's not a whole lot of competition either to the sporting market because hockey really isn't started yet
until not this year.
Yeah, and this year might not be started at all. But yeah, so and football's just getting going, so it's kind of nice you get the football and baseball.
So,
yes.
The other day you were out and you saw a major faux pas, something that really stuck in your craw.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so I was at Granville Island, which is a tourist spot.
Not an island,
but a cool tourist spot if you're visiting Vancouver. We always like to throw in the tourist tips.
Yeah.
So if you haven't come yet, you should come. But I saw a guy sitting next to me outside at one of the little, outdoor dining tables. And he was sitting on, he's sitting next to me and a little glass table about 5 feet off the ground, or not 5 feet, 2-3 feet off the ground with his Canon 5D Mark II. Which new goes for what, about $2,500?
Probably a little bit less, but still
okay,
substantial.
So substantial. And again, a lens on it that I don't exactly know what it was, but it certainly wasn't a kit lens. We're talking probably something in the range of another $1,000 that he had in lens equipment.
Uh-huh.
And it was teetering on the edge of the table with the lens strap over the edge. So the camera was literally less than a centimeter or half an inch for those not familiar with the metric.
Right.
And the strap was actually hanging in space over the edge of the table. And I just thought, how on earth? Like, again, in my house, that's on the floor in about 13 seconds or less. And I'm thinking, you know, we're Granville Island. There's birds all over the place. I mean, there's just
there's too much
stuff around to have your $3,000 teetering on the edge of your table.
I feel like we should be able to, as photographers, not you and I, but everybody, should have like a series of red cards, like in soccer. We could walk out to the guy and go, "I'm sorry, I have to confiscate your camera."
Or at least trade. Here, you get mine.
That's
I'll take yours. Yeah,
that's what I was leading up to. Yeah. Good call.
Etiquette.
And say, look, that's it. Here, you get my old Canon XS that I dropped. Because honestly, that's kind of what you deserve.
Yeah.
And I get the 5D Mark II.
Yeah. No, true enough. So I couldn't believe it. The older gentleman did not want to. I think if he was younger, I might have actually said something. But because he was probably my dad's age, I feel like he might have just pulled the respect card on me. So right. I was not going to tell, you know, this gentleman that was really a mistake. If he was 11, I probably would have, but he probably wouldn't have had that camera either. So yeah, I just let it sit there, and I actually started to secretly hope that it would fall over.
Though it was a Canon, and then if it was a Nikon, who cares? Or something.
I wanted him to learn that lesson.
Yeah, that's a tough lesson to learn.
Yeah.
I've never had to learn that, because that to me is fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Sitting here watching that. It's up there with the lens hood on backwards.
Yeah.
And so
that one I can understand a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not that I do it or, and again, or, but
condone
I
don't it.
Yeah, I don't condone it, but I can understand in the sling pack, you're quickly getting your camera out and you're going to miss the moment. You just don't want to miss it. So you're just going to take it without the hood. But for the guy to walk around all day, yeah, I got a problem with that. So
I came across as funny because the other day, probably the exact moment this was happening to you, I was driving past a wedding shoot. And someone was shooting their wedding, and they just come out of the church, and they're doing all these, you know, portrait style pictures, and they had an on camera flash. The wedding photographer had an on camera flash, and they were bouncing it,
right.
But they were outside,
right.
And they were bouncing it straight up into the clouds that weren't even that cloudy.
Yeah.
So I just that one really kills me.
That's the hey, I want to look cool because I want to let you know that I do have the fancy equipment and I'm just going to use it regardless. Or maybe they just, you know, didn't recognize, like they were taking it in portrait in 1 second and then they were flipping it over to like the landscape and maybe they just forgot to adjust the flash head. You want to give them that sort of leniency?
No, he's in this situation. There's no way that would have even applied. Not possible.
Because they'd be shooting it directly out or directly up. Either way.
Would have been bouncing it off nothing.
Yeah.
Either direction. It was kind of a wide open space. And I get it. And I do have some sympathy because I have shot weddings before and it is a hectic day, especially if you're shooting by yourself. There's so much going on and there's so much pressure on you to perform under, you know, such a strict timeline that stuff gets missed. Like the biggest thing I miss is I don't always nail white balance, which with RAW, who cares,
right?
Not who cares, you end up having a little bit of work to do later on.
But chances are you're shooting a whole bunch of photos in the same scenario, so you can do the work once and copy it over.
But what I don't do is I don't fire the flash off unnecessarily.
Because you don't have it when you need it.
Exactly. And so this one really bugs me. I wanted to just honk the horn and yell at her. Or him. It might have been him. I didn't actually see. I was just so furious. But then I realized it wasn't my wedding. And I moved on.
Right.
There you go.
I did come across a scenario, and I've never shot with one of these, and I'm going to throw this one at you, but one of those little Stofens that go like as a cover over your flash. And I've never used one. I've seen people using them. They usually think that they're pretty awesome if they've got one. There's kind of that persona that goes along with it. And anyway, so we have the little portable softbox. So I asked the guy, oh yeah, cause I was just curious, right? I wasn't being a jerk or anything. So I asked the guy, oh, you know, what's the purpose that you're using that for? And he said, oh, I'm using it to soften the light. And it immediately didn't sort of make sense to me because it's the exact same size, correct me if I'm wrong, as the flash head. And my understanding of flash is that ultimately, it needs to be bigger if it's going to soften the light at all. Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but then I went home and I started looking it up and sort of saying, what's its use? And the way I understood it is it's essentially to approximate a bare bulb flash, and it really just throws light everywhere as opposed to really having a softening effect.
It does disperse the light, so there is a slight softening effect just by the fact that it does bounce the light around a little bit. It's not an overpowering effect, and most people who use them modify them somehow.
Yeah, there is no. To be honest, I've never seen it modified other than just stuck right over the end of the flash.
I've seen guys cut holes in the top so that they're actually bouncing light into the ceiling, but then there is some coming out from the sides, so it produces a little bit of a cool effect. I don't have one myself. The black foamy thing is far and away better, or the softbox that we have. I happen to like. So,
okay, just throwing that out there.
There are uses for it. I know if there's some very specific uses that if you know what you're doing, but generally most people don't. They tend to be included with the Nikon flashes, but not with the Canon. So I think a lot of Nikon
just have them.
They have them.
Because on the flashes that I have, and again, I would think it was a very similar effect. It just has the little pull down slidey thing.
Yeah.
That essentially wouldn't that do the exact same thing?
That's designed for wide angle photos.
Okay.
Because that's going to spread the beam out to get full coverage, whereas you don't get that coverage normally.
I'm not talking about the zoom head. I'm talking about the little plastic piece. Are we still on the same page?
Yeah. Your flash will zoom in and out, but also it has, like the 430 has a little slide out plastic piece.
Yeah.
That is designed to just disperse it on a wider angle. So that if you're shooting wide open at like 18 millimeters or something like that, you get full flash coverage.
Okay.
Otherwise, it won't reach there.
Okay.
I use that never.
Yeah, I've never used it. Yeah.
There you go. So, what'd you shoot this week?
some portraits, family portraits. That was the big one. The other day, one of my favorite spots down Gary Point Park in Steveston, which I've talked about on numerous occasions, had a couple of family in town, my aunt and uncle, my parents, our family. So cousin did a big group shot. Yeah, on the logs, kind of where I've taken numerous photo challenges because it's close and scenic to my house.
What did you do with your keys?
I kept them in my pocket close at hand, and I did never put them. It's not that I put them down before. I was just running through rough terrain. So I did that. Two bare flashes. Didn't bring any umbrellas or anything. No stands. Positioned the flashes on logs. Used the sun as kind of a three-light setup. So I kind of use the sun to kind of light on the side of them so to get sort of the rim light from the sun, because I like the warm edges on the rim light better than if I do it with a flash anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then use the two flashes to light my subjects. And I was pretty happy with the effect, except for a crane in the background, which I might remove.
Right.
But I love that setup. I used to think that I needed to have the umbrellas and the stands to make it look the way I wanted, but absolutely not. I find, you know, just setting them up at the right angle and the bare flash is tuned into the right intensity.
Yeah.
And you can make it all look pretty awesome just with bare flash.
Nice.
Yeah. Less setup, too.
It is less setup and less opportunity for the wind to knock your flash over.
Yes, that's definitely a problem down at...
Do you have sandbags yet?
No, I don't, which is why I really only use now the stands at my house.
Right.
Yeah, where there's no wind inside. Yeah. Or outside, guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know you're a sandbag guy.
Yeah. So no fun carrying them, but... Yeah, so you interrupted yourself.
I was gonna coffee. No, I was gonna ask you what you shot, but I thought you were just gonna talk for a while, so I thought I was off. I feel like the first part of this episode has been very Adam heavy, and I'm used to listening.
Right.
Yeah.
And then whining about it later.
Yeah, whining why I never get any front billing.
What is alphabetically? I shot. I actually shot some. I'll call them self portraits because I did all the lighting. But then I had my dad snap the photo,
right?
Because I didn't want to put it on a tripod, but I wanted a picture of my daughter and I in my truck, or my dad's truck now.
Right.
That's a long story about how that truck went, but part of it was my truck. Anyways, so no one really drives a 75 Chevy half ton in Germany, so I'm pretty proud of that truck. And so I wanted a nice portrait of her and I in that truck.
Okay.
So I set that up, used some bare flash and an umbrella. What else do we shoot? A lot of family stuff. Because when we're recording this, the spoiler part of this is that I'm just getting ready to leave to go back to Germany. And so I'm kind of, you know, feeling like I want to get a lot of summer shots and a lot of different things, you know, family stuff. So down at the beach, shot a bunch of stuff. Because I love the beach.
Beach is good.
I miss the beach an awful lot when I'm gone. Just being by the ocean, everything to do with the ocean. In the winter, in the summer, it doesn't matter. I love the ocean. And so every opportunity I get to go jump in the water here, I take.
Okay.
And so took a lot of photos down there. Lynn Canyon.
Yeah.
Is it Lynn Canyon or Lynn Valley?
I think it's Lynn Canyon.
I think it's Lynn Canyon.
Yeah.
I recommend going and checking that area out.
I've never been.
You got to go. They have a suspension bridge that is free because there's two. There's one over at Capilano, which is the big tourist one. And it's huge. It's a big suspension bridge, but it's very pricey.
That's the one you hear about from all the tourists.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that it's not worth the money, because it is. That they put on a good show. And they have old-timey costumes and stuff like that, you know, like from the 80s.
Right.
No, they had
dress up like Madonna.
I think that's what it is. A lot of Don Johnson. So they have all the old kind of, I don't know what they have. A lot of stuff. I've been there once at Christmas.
You can be a cowboy.
Sure, I think it's a cowboy. That's exactly what they do. And so you go there, but that's fine. But they have a free one just down the road at this Lynn Canyon, and it's much smaller, and it was very, very crowded. But it goes across the canyon. You get to see a couple of people illegally cliff jumping.
Right.
And which is a bad idea because, you know, someone dies there every once a month or something. It's pretty silly to do. But there's a whole hiking area and stuff. So we will, you know, long story long.
Right.
my family and another family, a friend of ours, all took the kids out and hiked around there. And it was great because it was a nice combination of this nice soft light in the trees, because it's tall, tall trees. And so very little sunlight gets through, you know, on its own.
Right.
So it was pretty much a nice sunny day. I still had to shoot at ISO 1600 at F4 to get a decent shutter speed. But still, nice soft light, got some great images. Got to go down and play in the creek there, or the river, whatever it is. And highly recommend it.
Okay.
So that's it. That's the first half of what I shot. Oh, and we made pierogies, so I shot that.
Great.
Homemade pierogies.
You know, that's one thing that, not that I have any particular interest in getting better at it, because I don't really ever do it, but there's definitely an art to taking pictures of food. I don't know. I know it when I see a good picture of food in the magazines, I think do a pretty good job. I don't seem to do a good job when I take pictures of food. So
yeah, ours was, I was more focusing on us making the pierogi. So okay. it was the effort that went into it and the sort of that part. But the trick is, when they shoot food, you generally don't eat the food that you shoot.
Right.
Because it's probably covered in, you know, glycerin.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
Or it's not even real food.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, so there's that. But maybe that's a whole other episode.
Yeah, no, it doesn't need to be.
Photo challenge.
You issued it.
I issued it. City life.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. I thought, well, you know, Adam's going to be downtown, so I'm going to make it easy for him.
Yeah.
We'll just do some life in the city.
Right.
Any city. Now, what were your thoughts? What did you shoot? Will you start with mine if you want?
Start with yours.
Okay, here's my thinking going in. I had a whole bunch of ideas about what I wanted to shoot. And then just before I went and did it, I thought long and hard about it and realized, very cliche.
That was all the thoughts I had were cliche.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to tell a story. Like, I want to tell a story about not just city life, but my city. And I didn't want to go too, you know, too much bragging about, you know, like, oh, go to Stanley Park and shoot that, because that's not really the city.
Right.
Even though it's in the city and it's awesome. There's that. And then I thought, you know, hey, well, this is like, we have a lot of homeless people. I could bet you I could get a really nice portrait, but that's kind of cheating.
Yeah.
Because it's easy.
And I thought about that too. And again, my wife said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of also one of those, I mean, not that it's not real, it's just, it's a little bit of a downer. It's a little bit of a downer to do that. And mm-hmm. so I didn't want to do that either.
Yeah. And too political.
Yeah.
I thought. And just, it's just a really easy way to garner an emotion from somebody, mm-hmm. to garner a response. And so instead I took a boring photo. No, instead I went and shot something on Robson Street, which is the main sort of shopping street in Vancouver. And, here's what I came up with. So this is a street scene from Vancouver.
I see. It looks like a street scene from Vancouver.
And mission accomplished.
Yeah. No, I think you've captured. I wouldn't know that that's Vancouver, but I would know that that's a shot of the city. And I particularly like the meter maid. I don't know if uh-huh. that's what that's the appropriate gender specific term, but yeah, the guy tending to the meter there, because that's a very big thing in Vancouver. There's metered parking downtown everywhere.
Right.
And it's a giant pain in the butt to find parking. So I kind of focus right on that guy. He's wearing an orange vest for sure.
Uh-huh.
And you're thinking, okay, what's he doing? Oh, he's got the parking. You can just see enough of the cars. So no, I like it. I like it. It does definitely says city and Vancouver specifically, but I'm sure any city.
Right.
It speaks to me.
I'm going to guess Canadian city, because we've got roots in the background there.
Okay, I didn't notice that. We're looking at a small image, so forgive
right.
me there.
Right, no, that was actually on purpose, and the main thing that, you know, I wanted to talk about with this photo that leads into tonight's episode, this week's episode, is that you do see the guy in the meter maid. Like, you see him, he is separated from the background.
Yes.
Right, okay? That's all. I'm not going to talk any more about it now, but that was on purpose.
That's a teaser.
It's a teaser for this week's episode. There's a lot going on here, and maybe we'll come back and talk about this specifically, but that's my city life.
Okay.
So you know what's funny is I almost shot one of the SkyTrain, and you almost shot one of the...
SkyTrain.
Weird. Weird that we both pulled the shoot on it, though.
Yeah.
So...
So I went with a panorama. I'm panorama crazy since our last episode.
Is that true?
I kind of really want to shoot panoramas of everything.
This is a really good panorama.
That's Granville Island, which we spoke of earlier. And my thought was, I was downtown, and I wasn't sure we were going to go to Granville Island and Stanley Park. And like you said, my thought on Stanley Park was, it doesn't scream city life to me. So I was going to shoot Granville Island, but not Granville Island itself, from Granville Island, looking at the city. And to me, Vancouver is kind of a combination of, and the photo, obviously the high rises, which you see in most cities, and the bridges, because Vancouver is filled with them. I got one on either side in this panorama. Mm-hmm. And the other thing with Vancouver is it's right on the water, so all the boats. So I was just trying to capture a little bit of that, and I wanted a do-over from last week's panorama, because I went out and I was time limited. I'm going to say that again for anyone who didn't hear my sob story last week. But yeah, I wanted another crack at the panorama, and I thought I would go at it with the city life. So city life is Vancouver is high rises and bridges.
That's part of it. Yeah. And homeless people,
which you can't see in the photo, but I'm sure somewhere out there's at least one homeless person.
Oh, no, you photoshopped them out, just like they did for the Olympics. Yeah. I know where this is, and what really is brilliant about this is that the perspective, this looks normal. Like, this doesn't look like crazy perspective.
Yeah, I wish it was. I didn't move or anything. I just kind of spun around.
Right. But if you know where this is, and where, like, this part of Granville Island, you know, and in False Creek,
yep,
is the name of it, and where the Burrard Bridge on the left side of the picture, where it actually runs, like where it points, versus the Granville Street Bridge, which is on the right side, this looks pretty funny.
I had to turn all the way around to get the other side of that bridge. Yeah,
and this looks like, you know, to me, this could be a normal photo. So and you know, see, I happen to love both of these bridges. I have a thing about bridges and you know, weird things. I love the Burrard Street Bridge. I think it's beautiful. It's like
it's
the
one of the better looking bridges in Vancouver for sure.
And for me, okay, without getting into a long thing, it's because of the year it was built versus the year that the Granville Street Bridge was built. One is form, one is function, and they really make up. It's an important part of the city. So it's not just this city. It's many cities, you know. I'm sure Pittsburgh has a lot of bridges.
Probably.
Because of all the rivers. Trois-Rivières.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. Awesome. So I like it. And definitely a much better panorama than last time.
Definitely.
Last time was your first one ever.
Yeah. And shot on a very short timeline. Let me reiterate that. So,
how many photos did you take for this one?
That was a few more. I want to say in the ballpark of about 80.
Really?
Yeah, to get all the way around. And again, I was trying to reshoot spots because I wanted to make sure. So it's probably a few that were highly overlapped, mm-hmm, but just to make sure that I got all the pieces that I wanted.
Great.
So that's, I would say about 80 photos to do that.
And that's it. You're hooked now.
I'm hooked. I love it. And again, I think the more I do it, the quicker the post-processing gets on it. So again, the computer does most of the heavy lifting on it. So mm-hmm, it really doesn't take that long.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
This week's topic. I hinted at it. Let's hear it.
Separation from the background?
Separation anxiety.
Separation anxiety.
No, not anxiety. It's just separation. That's what we're talking about. We're going to talk about separation.
Because soon we're going to be separated, and that's going to be tough.
Is it?
Yeah, not really.
No. It's a little bit more work on my end.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Plus we're guys, so.
Yeah. It's just more editing, really. It's the only thing that we have to do with that process. No, you know what it is going to be? Is me getting up at 6 a.m. again.
Yeah, that's rough.
Wow.
And me doing it right before bedtime while my wife is sleeping in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's hard.
All right, well, enjoy this, the last
arrive.
Hurrah.
And it probably really comes through just the pure chemistry that we've got when we're live. Because most of the time when you can't see me, I'm in my underwear and I'm not paying attention. Those are kind of the things I do. So I'm forced to pay attention and wear clothes when I do the podcast here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Only because it's cooled off a little bit, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Earlier.
I'm still underdressed, though.
So why separation? I mean, we want ultimately, let me slow that down. Ultimately, we want our subject to be separated from the background.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to be camouflaged in there. I mean, maybe we want that camouflage, but probably not. So how do we do that? How do we go about making sure that our subject is the main focus of the picture?
Well, I think there's probably a number of methods, but one that immediately comes to mind, actually a few that immediately come to mind, but I'll say one, and then maybe you'll do one, is just depth of field. So, okay. You know, shoot with a narrow depth of field and then have the background blur out.
Let's try to knock these off in order.
Oh, you have a specific order.
I make notes.
I don't read the notes anymore.
No, I barely read the notes.
You barely write the notes.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these words are spelled with a six.
So what's the first one? Is that the first one?
No, that one's a little ways down.
Oh, seems like the big one.
No, it's the second one.
Okay. What's the first one?
First one is select a neutral background.
Oh, like just like a white wall or something.
Whatever it is, just if your background itself is too interesting, you're going to take away not the focus, but the viewer's focus on your subject.
Okay, makes sense.
So don't have it cluttered. Don't have it, you know, brightly colored. I mean, maybe you want it brightly colored if it's, you know, but we'll get to that. We'll get to colors down the road here. But ultimately, just look for a neutral background, something that's not going to clash with your subject.
Right.
Next up. Now, this is probably the biggest one.
Biggest. Bigger than depth of field.
Blur the background.
That was the one I said.
Yeah, I know, but I said it a different way. Yeah, I wanted to reiterate it in a different form.
Really lend emphasis to it. That's an important one.
Make it my own.
Yeah, okay.
This is the one that everybody strives for. I mean, whether they know why or not, all they know is that, hey, it looks good. Or it looks pro to do that, to blur the background.
Right.
But that's a great way to do it. And that's a great way, first of all, to declutterify the background, is to blur it right out.
Right.
So that's the one. Well,
it looks cool.
And it looks cool.
Yeah.
And the chicks dig it.
Yeah.
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 When they're driving you around. That's a callback to...
So, yeah, I got it.
Last
week.
So... how do we blur the background? We've talked about it in past episodes, but what's...
We're going to go back there. So you could really shoot on a wide aperture or a low f-stop number if that's easier. So shoot it on an f2 and stand really close to your subject. I know that's two concepts mixed in, but your focal distance and your aperture, those both have a big role to play.
Yes. If you want to get into deep with this, we do have an episode dedicated to this.
Yeah, we do.
Way back when, back when we were young pups and didn't know any better.
Yeah, that was the aperture episode.
I think there was a whole depth of field episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
I'll check the archive. Oh, I don't know if I'm right.
Yeah, I think there is.
I'll check the archives. Actually, you know what? You just check the archives. I have a list online. You can go ahead and listen to any episode you want.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. That's one thing I do an awful lot, especially, and I'm going to admit to this, is sometimes when I get lazy, which is always, that's what I end up doing. Rather than finding a neutral background, I'll just blow it out, focus-wise, depth of field-wise.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, sometimes it's lazy, sometimes it's just you have no choice. For instance, your crane situation, you probably had a great setup besides the crane.
Yeah.
And if you had the opportunity to just blur that right out and make it disappear, you would have.
Yeah.
Difficult to do with a group shot.
Yeah.
For a couple reasons. When you have a group, first of all, you're going to have a wider angle lens.
Yeah. And also, I'm shooting with lights, so the sync speed is different. So my shutter speed has to be 1/200th of a second. Or slower.
And you also want to make sure everybody in your picture is in focus.
Yeah.
So you end up shooting at like an f5, 6, or an 8 or something like that.
And I find, too, with group shots more than with portraits is, I mean, I really wanted it to be that scene, and I actually wanted the background.
Right.
Except for the crane.
Yeah. So that's one way to do it is to blur the background. Now, the other thing is to shoot with, obviously, a long lens.
Yeah.
Which is going to blur the background as well.
Yep.
That leads us into my next one. Shoot with a long lens.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, wow. No, but not just for the background, the blurring of the background, but that changes our perspective.
Right.
And that's what I did on my challenge photo is I shot with the 70 to 200 at 200 on purpose. I went there with that specific goal in mind to do that, because what that's going to do is basically compress the action. It's going to give us a different perspective on it and make it much easier for our subject to stand out.
Okay.
So aside from the blurry background, that also gives us a great way to isolate. Oh, I should have called it isolate.
Yeah, let's change it.
Nah, separation. Separation sounds negative now, though.
Yeah, it
does. Isolate also sounds negative. So there's that. So try a long lens.
Great.
Okay. Colors. This one's important.
Okay.
And I think it also, there's a very specific reason that I shot the photo of the meter man.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called. What sure. He's called. I don't know what he's called.
Yeah.
But I immediately knew.
All our meter man listeners, email in.
On your route.
Yeah. What's the appropriate terminology? We do not want to offend them.
I'm okay with it.
Okay. Me too.
Yeah.
I hate those guys.
Well, just doing their job, but, you know, I don't like the parking meters in Vancouver. That's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, paying till 10, are you kidding?
Plus, I hate those guys, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I picked that guy on purpose. Because, one, he told a story, like you said, the life in Vancouver and life in the city, and everybody can relate to it. But also, his orange vest, which is designed to make him stand out so he does not get hit by a car,
yeah,
also makes him stand out from the rest of the background here.
Absolutely.
So, if I want my subject to stand out, I look for that difference in colors.
Okay.
So I won't have someone, I wouldn't have someone wearing a red shirt against a green background because I can't see that.
It'll blur in.
Some people have that with blue and yellow, not many. But look for competing colors. Now, green shirt in the trees, it's not going to pop. You know, you might still see that person and you have to go to great lengths to make them separate from the background, but why not start with that? Look for competing colors.
Okay.
That's what makes black and white difficult sometimes, because thinking ahead, you don't always know how that specific color is going to translate into grayscale, which is why when I'm shooting black and white images, even though I'm shooting raw, so shooting color no matter what, I will set my preview image to be black and white.
And then you at least got some idea of what's going on.
That's right. So you can pick right away if you have, very similar tones, although they're vastly different in real life. When they're in black and white, they blend together. So now you know, okay, I have to make an adjustment here.
Okay, that's a good tip, I think.
Contrast. Look for contrast situations.
And is that, you know, when you're saying contrast, that's like hard edges, like, you know, give us an example of what would be a contrast you would be looking for.
More so like, you know, dark to light, like for instance, or, you know, someone has a white shirt against a black background, something like that, something that it's really going
to
stick out.
So similar to the color idea.
It is similar to the color, but it also, it goes to tone as well. Which kind of ties into the next one, is in terms of lighting, maybe you want to have a bright subject and a underexposed background.
Right.
So if we have a couple of stops difference, our subject is really going to pop.
Right.
Or it might be the opposite. It might be a properly exposed background and a silhouette. Either way, our eye is going to see that person.
Right.
So look for contrast situations. That's okay. What I like.
Or maybe make some. Right.
Exactly.
Is that in the list?
It's not in the list.
Yeah. Well, I know. Again, maybe you've got this idea somewhere, but I'm also thinking that in the lighting situation, if you can create contrast by, you know, throwing in a backlight, like lighting someone to create a rim light.
Right? Oh, that's in the list. That's the very last one because it's super super pro. It's
okay.
Pro
so move. Forget it. Move on to the next one.
No, that is
forget. The... Forget I didn't say that. Is that the last one? Are we at the last one?
We're almost at the last one.
Wow. I feel like we've said the same thing in 8 different ways.
Do you?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I don't think we have.
Giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
Well, you wrote the list.
I can't wait till next week's notes that you write. In crayon.
It'll be improv. Yeah. We call it improv week.
It's called this week's episode. Just stretch it out. Stretch it. Yeah. Be written in blue crayon. Yeah, no, but if I'm setting up a photo, like I'm gonna you know, tell somebody, hey, I'm gonna do a portrait, and it's a controlled situation, I will ask them to wear a specific color, and I'll have a specific color in mind for the background, or a specific tone. Please wear a white t-shirt, and I know that I'm not going to shoot them against a white background.
Right.
That's going to be either black or a gray, and it's like a darker gray, so that they pop out without having to think about it. So that's one way to do it. Or I definitely know I'm going to underexpose the background. That's always what we kind of look for. Even if you're not using lighting, I look for certain situations. Perhaps there's light bouncing off a building's windows that I can use to illuminate the subject and then have the background fall off.
Okay.
Any situation like that. Now, the last one is the big one. This is the one that you get paid the big dollars for, is if you are going to rim light somebody. Backlight, kicker. We've had an episode about this.
I think we did. Well, we had a rim light challenge. I know we did that.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And this is where you see it in, like, if you watch CSI or any of most of the TV shows, everybody's always backlit. In fact, watch it. I love watching it in movies when two actors are facing each other and they're somehow both have their back to the sun. That's how it looks, because they're both wonderfully backlit.
Yeah.
But that creates that sort of halo around the edge, and that's an automatic separation from the background.
And I think where, again, I started noticing it a lot was when you're out at sunset. You know, in magic hour, and you'll see that nice golden light. And if you know, instead of using that light to illuminate someone's face, to turn their back, and then, you know, you can hit them with an off-camera flash from the other side and light them with your flash and have that nice golden light across their hair and their shoulders, right?
Yep.
To me, it looks better, that rim light coming from the sun, than it does trying to create that gold light from your flash, which it doesn't do.
Unless you're going to put gels on it.
Yes.
And even then, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I have those gels. I do that never, because that's too much work when I can just use the sun.
Mother Nature's doing it for you.
Yeah.
So exactly. Use that. Yeah, I like to use that. Well, we talked about tough lighting situations a few episodes ago, and that was one thing to do, is put your subject with their back to the sun.
Yeah.
And this is one of the side effects is that rim lighting. So that's it gets to a situation where I don't want to overdo it. When I first started rim lighting a long, long time ago, like, you'd really notice it. And I don't like when you really notice it. I like when you suddenly...
More subtle, yeah.
Yeah, when you sort of bring it in. But if I'm lighting somebody, if I'm going to light a subject, oftentimes I will start with the rim light. That'll be the first light. We'll sit there. I'll take an ambient exposure, hopefully knocked right down so that it, like in a studio, so we're going to get very...
Just the rim light?
Yeah. First of all, we'll have nothing. Hopefully we're going to start with black. That'd be ideal. And then I'm going to add the rim light. And then bring the rest of the lights in so that the rim light looks... normal.
You know what way I find works well to get it all black? Leave the lens cap on.
That's something to consider.
And then you think, wow, nailed it.
Got it. Ambient gone. And I'm shooting it at 30 seconds. It's a timed exposure and it's still out. Man.
I'm amazing.
This must be like F1000 or something. I may have invented some new photography. So that's it. I can't think of any other ways to separate your subject.
I think you hit on the ones that I had in my head. I'm not going to be the authority on this, but all the ways that I know to separate the subject you've listed.
One simple one that...
We missed?
Yeah, it's actually the number one.
No.
It is. It's the number one. It is so simple that I overlooked it.
Okay.
And this is—I know it sounds like I'm making it up.
You're probably just going to say the depth of field one again.
Yeah, depth of field again, because that's your favorite. No, pull your subject away from the background.
Right. I kind of feel like we may have hit on that. No,
we didn't. I mean, we didn't talk about distance, about all the relative distances, but
go back and listen. I think the message you said is go back and listen to the old episode on depth of field, because that was kind of covered in that.
We talked about the science behind it, but just in general, the very first thing you should do if you're positioning your subject for a video interview or for photos, is I very rarely have them up against the background. Yeah. Sometimes I do for effect. Sometimes it's an interesting wall or whatever it is, but generally I pull them away a little bit and it gives you some control.
Right.
So that's the first one. Go back and add that in and then bump the rest of them down one.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. Are we done? Do you want to sing a song or something?
No, let's just make 5 minutes of us drinking coffee and saying, yes, you're right.
That one, yes. I wish we had chocolate to go with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meh. Let's not do that.
No, this is just getting awkward now.
Yeah. Next week's challenge. I've got one. I know it's technically not my turn.
I'm gonna listen to what it is, and I'm gonna reserve the right to knock it down if I don't think it's gonna be good for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm still doing it.
Okay.
So you're welcome to do whatever you like, but you're going to fail.
Okay.
This one, I'm a little nostalgic because I am leaving here.
Right.
So this one is from one of our listeners named Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
It's called My Hometown.
All right.
Yeah, Bruce wrote us in.
And we can't just take a picture of the old album that you've got sitting underneath your bed.
If you can name the album, I'll be very impressed.
Is it I do know the album. I actually have the album. Is it the single of it's not Born in the USA.
It's Born in the USA.
Is it?
Yep. With the iconic photo of him with the jeans with the hat and the back pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do have it.
Yeah, I also have that one. But no, I'm not going to shoot the album cover.
Okay.
I want to shoot, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be a picture.
Is Glory Days on that album?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That is a good one. I don't know if I'm going to shoot a picture of this hometown or that hometown.
Wow. Teaser.
You know what? Pretty good chance I'm going to shoot two.
Wow.
I'm going to double up this week, make you look bad.
Yeah, great.
Well, and
it's not making me look bad if you shoot two bad photos.
Well, I'm going to shoot... You know what? This week's challenge is my hometown.
All right. I'm only going to have one.
Well. All right. Halfwaying it.
Yeah.
No, it's... that's it. My hometown. Your hometown. Okay.
All right. That's it.
Well, where can people see your photos, Adam?
SchwartzChronicles.com, as always.
Now that we're going back to school...
Yeah.
Are we going to get more regular updates?
From my Schwartz... Or from my wife's Schwartz Chronicles?
Yeah.
I'm hoping. Yeah. Again, I've been kind of at the end of summer just enjoying things, taking less photos.
Yeah.
Did take a few. I'm probably going to take a few back-to-school things. So I'm gonna get on her. She's got to put more posts out there.
Right. And then what with your rich blogging history, I guess...
Oh, my own blog. Yeah, look for that. On the Two Hosers website. Yeah, that coming soon. You know, we should just have a little under construction sign, like coming soon.
Oh, yeah,
soon.
Nothing screams professional like an under construction sign on your website. Yeah, that sits there for 3 years.
Yeah. No.
I love going to those websites and you see under construction. I think, why bother?
I think we need to have an under construction.
No, I'm not doing that. What we should have is a really awesome flash splash page that comes in with like a 10-minute intro video that with a really loud sound
and like you can't, a tiger growling,
and you can't skip the intro.
Yeah.
no intro skipping. That's what we're going to have because everybody loves that. Dear people who put that on their website. Really? We're not doing that anymore. Even the skip intro I could do without.
I love the skip intro.
It shouldn't
But I feel so good for being able to skip it.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be there to skip.
What about you can start skipping in like 9 seconds? You have to watch 9 seconds.
Oh, the YouTube model?
Yeah, before you can skip.
Yeah. Yeah. Who watches 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Nobody. And if you can skip that, no one's thinking, I want to hear more about this car. Wow. You know what? That guy looks very happy with whatever medication that is that makes him throw the football. I'd like to hear more about this.
This got you wound up.
No, don't start. It I don't like the model. I don't like it. I mean, I suppose if the ad is interesting.
All this because I said under construction.
Under construction. We're not doing it. Just, why don't you just write your blog post about under construction if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to write a blog post.
Well.
No, I'm really going to.
For Christmas?
Yeah. No, before Christmas.
Okay, we have a hard time.
Absolutely, 100% guarantee a blog post before Christmas.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to take it a step further. just at the end of the show when no one's listening. I would like you to write a second blog post.
Yeah.
About Halloween.
Wow, that's really stepping up the ante.
Yeah.
Okay, the second one will be about Halloween.
At least second. It could be a third or fourth, but I'm saying the second one
by Halloween
has to be about Halloween.
Okay. All right. Yep. Done.
Cuz I like Halloween.
Done.
All right. That's it. Okay.
And your then, stuff.
Yeah, my stuff you can find at Alan Attridge, which is under construction.
It will be after this.
I'm going to have that. It's just going to be me in like a tight shirt, all sweaty.
And a hard hat.
Yeah, and a hard hat. Like a construction worker. I'll do a whole bunch of push-ups just before.
Just spritz yourself.
Just chest hair poking out. No, I don't think I need to take that picture because I just painted a word picture.
Yeah, yeah. Quite a nice one.
Yeah. So over at alanattridge.com, you can find my stuff. There will be no pictures of me sweating. You can find the two of us at twohosers.com, as always, where you can find everything you want to know about Twitter, past episodes. Soon we will have a list of all the photo challenges we've done. My schedule is opening up a little bit, so I'll actually get on it, Andrew. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You hear me, Andrew? I'm going to do it.
Great.
Awesome. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.